So we're on the top of Tezayin Amud Aleph. The Mishnah tells us about judging the Jewish people, or judging the world. So let's start with that Mishnah. Barba Parakim Ha'olam Nidon. The world is judged at 4 points. B'Pesach Al Tevuah. It's judged on Pesach for the grain. Batzeres Al Peros Ilan. And on Shavuos for the fruits that grow on the tree. Rosh Hashanah, Kolboy Olam Olam Lefanev Kneb Maron, and on Rosh Hashanah, all the inhabitants of the earth pass before Hashem like sheep. So far we have three. We have Pesach for grain, Shavuos for fruit of trees, like Eretz Yisrael would be like olives and dates and pomegranates and grapes and the like. And on Rosh Hashanah, people are judged. Shenamar, and now the Mishnah quotes a pasuk: Hayotzer yachal libam, hameven el kol maaseyem. So we don't know exactly what this pasuk is referring to. Well, the Gemara is going to explain it, but this is going to be the source that we're judged on Rosh Hashanah. And what's the fourth time? The fourth time the Jewish people that people are judged: B'chag nidon al hamayim, and on Sukkot we're judged for water.
Amen.
So what does that mean for water? So Sukkot is right before the rainy season, right? So we're judged, what's the rainy season going to be like? I mean, if you look at the other than Rosh Hashanah, when people are judged generally, but the three are Pesach for grain, Shavuos for fruit, and Sukkot for water. So those three are all part of the agricultural cycle, right? Yeah. And you have to remember that in the ancient world, until just a couple hundred years ago, everything was basically dependent on the agriculture. It was only with the advent of mercantilism in the 17th century that really the world started to change and move away from the agricultural cycle. But until recently, it was always everything was based on agriculture. So the three main judgments, aside from Rosh Hashanah, are about agriculture, and that's what our Mishnah says. So we're going to have to see. Right over here. Here's a Gemara for you. Tazayin Amud Aleph at the top. We're going to have to see exactly what the overlap is between the different judgments. Here you go. Right over here is a seat for you. We saved it. Again, our mission tells us there are four times that the people are judged. Rosh Hashanah is the primary one, but there are also three agricultural judgments: Pesach for grain, Shavuos for fruits, and Sukkot for water. Okay, what's that?
Livestock, beef.
Great question. What about livestock? So that's not mentioned over here. I think earlier in the Masechta we had a reference to it. Let's see what we'll discover, because even in the ancient world, the Shvatim raised cattle. Yes. Maybe that's part of water. I don't know. We'll have to see. Maybe that's part of Adam.
They eat grain.
They eat grass mostly. Yeah. Right? In the ancient world, animals didn't eat grain. Grain was really just for people.
So I guess the cows just went hungry.
No, they ate grass. Mm-hmm. They were grass fed, much healthier.
If you pay
extra, you can still get grass fed cattle. It's much more expensive because it takes much more area to let them graze. Okay, so I want to just to mention a story that we might be familiar with. I remember we actually learned it together. It's a Gemara in Brachos that tells a story, and Tosus mentions it over here. Let's read the Tosus. So the top Tosus on Tezayin Amud Aleph Pesach Al Tevuah. So Tosa says, Perek Misha Meso, in this Perek of Brachos, Gavi Chassid Shek Nitaso Ishto Erev Rosh Hashanah. So a man got into a fight with his wife right before Rosh Hashanah. Hmm. And they got into this fight, and it was a really, really big fight. And the husband decides that he's not going to sleep at home that night. Anybody remember this story?
No.
Okay, so we'll remind everybody. So what happens is, so he has to go find someplace else to sleep that night. But he doesn't want to go to one of his friends and bring everybody else into this fight. So where is he going to go sleep? He goes to sleep in the cemetery. This is what happens. So he goes to the cemetery. And he goes to sleep in the cemetery. And he falls asleep. And he hears two spirits talking. And one says to the other, one says, you know, I can't travel out of my burial and my grave because remember this, right? Because I'm dressed in a cloak that doesn't allow me to leave. You go and tell me what happens. You go, you know, go talk to the other neshamos and tell me what happens. So this neshama, I think the young girl, goes and comes back to report to the friend who stuck, wasn't able to travel the night of Rosh Hashanah. And says, well, what did you hear? So this one neshama tells the other that I heard that Hashem decided this year there's going to be like a hail early on, and those who plant their grain late, that grain's going to survive. Those who plant early, that grain's going to get destroyed. So this guy's listening to this. He hears this. And everybody else plants their grain early. And he says, no, I'm going to wait this year. And he plants his grain. And lo and behold, his grain survives. And obviously it sells at a premium. Next year, Rosh Hashanah, what do you think he does? He goes back to the cemetery because he last year worked out so well. He goes back to the cemetery. And he again hears him. This year, everybody has to plant. So the attack is going to be later on. The hail is going to be later on. So what he does is he plants early. Everybody learned their lesson last year. They all plant late. And again, his grain survives and everybody else's grain is destroyed. His wife, the end of the story is that his wife asked, like, how did you know? Like, everybody else didn't know. How did you know to plant early, to plant late? So he tells her this story. And his wife gets into a shouting match with the mother of one of the girls who's buried in the cemetery. And in the course of that argument, she tells her that, I know that your daughter is buried in its clothing made out of reeds. And there, like, I know that, which she only knows because her husband told her. And like this whole story gets out. And in the end, in order to show, to protect the secrets, so the two neshamos no longer talk to each other. Once everybody knows that this is happening, they no longer talk. And this man who used to sleep in the cemetery is no longer effective in finding out the future. Good. That's the story in the Gemara. It's a very important Gemara in Brachos. But what Tosis is going to isolate from the story is, what are we talking about? What was being decided that night of Rosh Hashanah? What's in the story in Brachos?
Well, yeah.
What's being decided in the story in Brachos?
It was similar to something like that.
Yes, but what is it? What specifically is being decided?
Grain.
But what does our Mishnah say? When is grain judged?
Pesach.
On Pesach. So Tosis says, well, it doesn't work, because the Gemara in Brachos says in the story they're judged on Rosh Hashanah. Here it says that they're judged on Pesach. So let's see further in Tosis where he asks this question. Second line of Tosis, middle of the line. Masha de Rosh Hashanah, Shamashte Rucho, Shema Saprin Zuesu. Right, he heard the two spirits or neshamos talking. Sheshama Merchore, Pargud, Shechol, Zorea, Berevia, Rishona, Barad Malko. So anybody who plants early during the first rain of the season, that grain is going to be destroyed by hail later on. So Tos says, I don't understand. Why were they talking about this on Rosh Hashanah? They should have been talking. He should go sleep after the Seder. He'll go to sleep on Pesach in the cemetery. Why is he going on Rosh Hashanah? So Tos gives two answers. The Shema, B'Shamayim, B'Rosh Hashanah, Hayim Azkirin, Dinah, Nigzer, B'Pesach. So maybe, really, the decision was made on Pesach, but they announced it on Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah is still a time of din, and it's a judgment that's going to affect people, so they announce it, reiterate it on Rosh Hashanah. That's one approach. So the decision is made earlier, the din is earlier, and then it's announced again at the following Rosh Hashanah. Inami kribhuda damra kol nidon b'Rosh Hashanah gzar din b'Pesach al tvuah. Or Tosa says it's the opposite, which is an opinion that we'll see later in the Gemara, that when we say that the judgment is on Pesach for tvuah, but I understand, we always thought the judgment is on Rosh Hashanah, right? So he says, what that means is that the judgment originally takes place on Rosh Hashanah, but it's finalized, what we call the gzar din, is on Pesach for grain, Shavuos for fruit, and Sukkos, the previous Sukkos, for water. So in the story in Brachos, why were they talking about in Rosh Hashanah? They were talking about in Rosh Hashanah because that's when it was decided, even though the Gzardin is later. Fine.
Well, even for the waters, decided then.
Again, it's decided in Rosh Hashanah, right. But the finalizing of the din is on Sukkos for water.
What about for fruits and water?
So fruits would be on Shavuos.
But when is it originally
decided? Everything, according to this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, everything is decided on Rosh Hashanah, but the sealing of the din, the Gzar din, is later. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's a great story. I'm glad you remember it. We learned it together, I think, 4 years ago.
Wow.
And now we're reviewing. That's great. So let's continue with the Gemara. So the Gemara is going to question the chronology of the din. And it actually gets pretty complicated. So you have to get into the mindset of somebody living in the land of Israel or in Bavel. And they live in an agricultural cycle, okay? So let's say...
What year are we talking about?
We're talking about time of the Mishnah, so right before the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash and right afterwards. So you're living the first century, second century, and at what point in the year do you plant your grain? What would you say? So do we know this?
In the fall, no?
So you plant in the fall. Grain in ancient world, in Eretz Yisrael, was planted in Cheshvan. So you have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkos, right? Tishrei is pretty busy on its own. Take your vacation in Tishrei. And then you go back to work in Cheshvan. That's when you plant all your grain. And then it grows for a couple of months. And then you harvest it before when?
Pesach.
Before Pesach, around Pesach time. And then you let it dry over the summer. And then you bring it into the house, into the silos, around when? Sukkos. In time to get it out of the rain, which is going to start immediately following Sukkos. So that's the cycle. That's the grain cycle. What about the fruit cycle? When do fruits grow? So we know that fruits basically grow. They pick fruits over the summer. They start to grow in the springtime, right? We know that the flowers... Tu B'Shvat, you're a little ahead. But when do trees begin to flower?
Right.
In Nisan, right? That's why the Berachos HaYilanos, the bracha on the fruit trees, is made in Nisan. The sap begins to flow on Tu B'Shvat and Rosh Chodesh Shvat, correct? But the flowering starts in Nisan, and then once you have the flowers of Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, by that point the fruits are already growing, and Elo, you're harvesting everything. Some are a little bit earlier, some are a little bit later, but that basically covers it. Here's the question. We said that on Pesach, we're judged on grain. Where does that fall in the cycle of grain? Pesach is where? It's what?
In the middle.
It's towards the very end, right? You plant it in the Cheshvan right after Sukkos, and then it grows for about 6 months, and then you harvest it at the end. So you harvest like right after Pesach. Right, between Pesach and Shavuos is when you're harvesting this grain. So what part of the grain, what are you being judged on? The grain's already done. You hear the question? Yeah? That's a yes. I'm taking that as a resounding yes. So let's see. So the Gemara says, Hai Tvua, this grain that you're judged on, what grain is it? Ile Mahat Tvua, Dekaima, if it's the grain that's still standing, that grew for the last couple of months and you're about to cut. Kolhani, the raftiki, the adu Allah, imas istan. So, let's say there's a pestilence and it destroys the grain in Adar. So when was that judgment? It's right. The judgment of the grain is only in Nisan. So, but that leaves 5 months before Nisan when the grain is growing, and a lot can happen in 5 months, right? So all the ups and downs of the crop that happened between Cheshvan and before Nisan. So when was that judgment? When did that take place? What do you think? What are our choices? Either
the judgment itself, Rosh
So according to Rehuda, it's Rosh Hashanah, but when would the completion of that judgment is only on Pesach. Right. So when's the completion of that judgment? It must have been, so it's either this Pesach or it's last Pesach, right? So if you're going to tell me, that's what the Gemara is asking. If you're going to tell me that on Pesach of 2020, right, the coming Pesach, at least the coming year, the Pesach of 2020 is the judgment for the grain that was planted in Cheshvan of 2019, right, and it's still standing, about to be cut on Pesach 2020, so what about that interim period, right? So you're going to tell me, no, it was judged already on Pesach of 2019, right? So this previous Pesach is on the next year's crop. Let's see. So Ella Tvua Dimizdara. It's referring to the grain which will be planted. So while you were on your Pesach program, 2019, Hashem was judging you for the grain of the coming year that you were planting. So that's what it must be, right? Because otherwise it can't go backwards. You can't be judged retroactively. That doesn't make any sense. So it must be that you're judged really, it's about 6 months in advance, and even more, sometimes even 12 months in advance. So the judgment is on Pesach for the next year's crop. Fine. But the Gemara is going to question this. It doesn't really work. L'meimra d'cha dina mistana. So you're telling me that there's really one judgment that happens before you plant the crop, and that's going to determine everything about the crop. It can't be. There's only one judgment. Vasanya. Tvua she'ira bakeri ones. If you have grain that is destroyed, let's say by some sort of disease or by animals. Kodem haPesach nidon l'sha'avar. If it was destroyed before Pesach, like in Adar, so you had these tall, and then all these tall stalks of wheat, and all of a sudden the locusts come in and Adar, and they eat all the wheat. So when was the judgment? That was last year, right? Okay. La'achar Pesach, let's say Pesach comes, and you get back from your Chol Moed trip, you went to Six Flags, you get back, and on your way back, you see the swarm of locusts coming. So when did that judgment happen? That happened this Pesach, right? The first day of this Pesach. That's Nidonos La'aba. So what you see is that you actually break, this is the part that Bryce is going to talk about, you actually break the growing season into two parts. There's the part from Cheshvan until Pesach, 5.5 months long, right? And that is judged last year. And then there's the last, like just the last edge of it, which is, let's say, a month long, from beginning of Pesach until it's cut 2 or 3 weeks later, that's judged on Pesach itself. So, but how many judgments are there? Two, right? There's the first judgment last year and the second judgment this year. Not like what we said, that there's only one judgment. And that also means, by the way, that on Pesach, two judgments are happening. Right? What are the two judgments happening on Pesach? Hashem is judging the grain which is still standing now, which will be cut within the next couple of weeks. And he's also judging the future, next year's grain. Okay, so then we have to reinterpret our mission. That's a very different approach than you would have thought. Right? If the entire cycle fits within 1 year, so you have one judgment. If the cycle is bridges two different years, so then you have two judgments. So that's the... That's the judgment of grain. We're going to read a little bit more of the Brisa.
How does it happen over 2 years?
What's that?
How does it happen over 2 years?
Because the beginning of the year is Pesach, right? The judgment of that year, the judgment year is Pesach for grain, right? That's what our mission is saying. But
what happened to the Rosh Hashanah one?
So let's either. So again, so what we're saying is that either the entire judgment happens on Pesach, or the finality of the judgment, the declaration of the judgment, right, happens on Pesach. But right, either way, the judgment takes effect on Pesach.
Yeah, but can there be it's already made on Rosh Hashanah?
But it would still be retroactive.
It's not finalized.
Right?
So it could change over the time period?
Yes. Oh, just like between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, right, the judgment can change.
Ah, so the judgment can change.
But let's say it's an appeal. right? So if you have a case and it goes to appeal, so they don't the assets are not seized yet because it's still an appeal.
Okay.
Right?
So you're allowed.
I think. I don't know if that's really true, but I assume it's true. It makes sense to me. Anybody know? Okay.
Well, in real life?
In real life.
Yeah, sure.
Right. It's not, the assets are not seized because it's an appeal.
An appeal.
Right. So if Hashem decides that the grain is going to be a bumper crop this year, doesn't it can't go into effect because it's still an appeal. Or if it's going to be destroyed, same thing. So the if only when the appeal ends does the year begin. That's on Pesach. So that means that you have this grain, which is growing, it was planted in October, right? Pesach is in April. So the grain from October to the beginning of April was decided last year.
Yeah.
And that the end of the cycle, which is the next month, is decided today, first day of Pesach, for the next month. Okay, so there's two judgments on one crop. Let's read further in the Braisa. Adam shir bo kerio ones kodem yom kippur, nidon l'shavar. If something happens to a person before Yom Kippur, so then that was all decided the previous Yom Kippur. L'achri Yom Kippur nidon l'haba. If something happens after Yom Kippur, Sukkot, and later, so then that's from the most recent Yom Kippur. Amar Rava, so Rava says, what do I see from here? Shma mina, treidini misdana. You see that there are two judgments, and that's accurate, right? There are two judgments. At the beginning, you break up the growing season into two parts. There's the first 5 months and the last month. The first 5 months from Cheshvan to Nisan is covered in last year's din. The last month, Nisan, maybe the beginning of Iyar, is covered in this year's din. Okay. So now that you know this, there's a hack that you can do, right? What does that mean? So listen to the Gemara says, and it's really astounding. Amar Abaye. Okay, everybody sees where we are? We are about 12 to 14 lines down, right by the Aleph of the Hagosa Bach. Okay, Amar Abaye. Hilkach, since you're telling me that there are two separate judgment seasons, Chazi Inish, Dematzlich Zara, Afla, if you planted in Cheshvan, and you planted, let's say, your wheat in Cheshvan, right? And you see it's Cheshvan, so it's October, November, December, and you see that it's growing really well. So you can infer backwards that what was Hashem's din? What did Hashem decide about this grain for this year? That what? It's going to be a good crop. Now, all of a sudden, you realize I have another 3 months or 4 months until Pesach. So what can I do now that I know this information that Hashem decided that this year is going to be a good year? So then, liktim v'lizra charfa. Da'ad demati l'medayne kadim salik. So that you should plant something that's going to grow very quickly. For example, barley grows very quickly, Rashi says. So now, in December, you saw that the wheat was growing really well. Wheat really takes the whole 6 months. But barley only takes about 4 months. So plant your barley now, and you'll get another 3 months of growing in the year that you know that Hashem decided was going to be good. It's like, if you knew, there's like a...
stock coming in.
If you know, if you get tomorrow's paper today, so you know what's going to happen. So, the stock might not do well every day, but I happen to know that today it's going to do well. So today's the day to get it. So it's the same type of thing. You can, if you have a way of figuring out what's going to happen with the crop, so then you can get it. Now this is intuitively it's a very strange concept, because maybe Hashem said it's going to grow well, and then it's going to get destroyed in Adar. I mean, I don't know. Hashem can do whatever he wants. Maybe Hashem has, more at his disposal than just saying good year, bad year. Right? Right. When did when the stock market crash in 2008? When did it happen?
What month? It was the fall, I think.
I believe it was March.
Yeah, I think it was March.
March was the bottom. So
by that time you were born.
Yesterday was pretty bad too. Came back already.
No, I didn't.
I'm not coming back.
Yeah.
Okay, you see, there you have a prediction. It's coming back. If you believe what Gabe is saying, so then you should be all in.
But we don't sell short.
If you don't. So maybe, I don't understand. Hashem did, so let's say March 2000, starting March 2008, that was the bottom. That's when, so it started going up right after that, right? So if you knew the market is bottoming out, so obviously you want to get in at the bottom, right? Right? The market's 300% since then. So if you knew that, you'd get in. And when did Hashem decide that the market is going to go back up in March 2008? Obviously, what's the answer? Rosh Hashanah, right? But he didn't. It didn't start in right after Rosh Hashanah. It started right after Yom Kippur. It was delayed. Hashem first said the market's going to continue to fall, and then he said it's going to go back up. So that's not a stira. That doesn't contradict anything that we know about Din. Hashem is very sophisticated, right? So why can't Hashem do the same thing with grain and say the grain's going to really grow well from Cheshvan through Shvat? And then it's gonna all everything's gonna come tumbling down, like I don't know.
It's like the futures market.
It's like the futures market. You know, it's very risky. There has been a futures market on grain at least since the time of the Gemara.
I'm talking Talmudic times.
The Gemara in Babasha talks about the futures market in grain. I don't know if it's relevant to this, but it's very interesting. They talked because they had shipments, and like the shipment would get stuck in the port, and like it was a very localized market. Like they didn't have, you know, price parity across large areas. But if you had, you know, one shipment coming into a city and the shipment was delayed, so you're expecting on Monday, it's right, Wednesday, it's not here yet. So the price of grain starts to rise very quickly. All of a sudden, somebody sees it on the horizon and the price of grain, you know, collapses. So that's what the Gemara talks about.
Also, what do you think, philosophically, religiously, the reason, the underpinnings of having the second judgment period?
You mean the din and the gzar din, you mean?
Yeah.
Why is it that the growing cycle is broken up?
Right.
So let's talk about this for a second. Why is it? I mean, if you would have chosen a time for din, right? There are four times listed in the Mishnah. So Rosh Hashanah, I get. Rosh Hashanah is a time of din. Fine. But we still need a din for grain, fruits, and water. When would you choose? You're looking for a type of time to have that din. When would you choose?
Harvest.
A harvest time, right? So you want it to be somehow connected to the natural cycle, right? Because you're trying to work backwards to what Hashem is doing. Fine. Would you choose a holiday? Would you choose Pesach as a time of the din for grain, or Shavuos or Sukkot? Like, is that what you have chosen?
It's probably not.
Probably not. It doesn't seem intuitive to me. And in fact, we struggle with this tension on Rosh Hashanah. Because it's most apparent for us in Rosh Hashanah, that's the day that we treat as din. Like, yes, it's a holiday, but it's also a time of din. In fact, that's why we don't, what do we leave out on Rosh Hashanah? Because it's a time of din. Even though it's a holiday, we leave out hallel, exactly. So we struggle with that tension. Why is it that, we'll have to see as the Gemara continues, that din is always always associated with a yontif, right? In this Mishnah. There was the previous mission, other Rosh Hashanah is a different question, but why is that?
Demarcation point.
It is an easy demarcation point, but it's not intuitive. It is a point, but it's not the point I would have chosen. I would just not know when to choose. So maybe what this represents, I think the Mefarshim point this out in other places, like in discussing Rosh Hashanah, that when the Jewish people come close to Hashem, so they're held to a higher standard. And at times of closeness, we have to be more careful. That's why, right, it's right before Tisha B'Av, that's why in Eretz Yisrael, in the land of Israel, the Jewish people, when they sin, are thrown out. But when they go to Gullis, they're not thrown out when they sin. They just stay in Gullis, moving around, right? Why is it that they get thrown out of Eretz Yisrael? Because when you're in Eretz Yisrael, you're closer to Hashem. You feel closer to Hashem's compassion, but also to Hashem's judgment, and closer to Hashem, to the Shekhinah. So if you're not what you need to be, so you get like spit out, right? It's as similar as a mashal. I don't know any source for this. Why is it that animals are able to tolerate like all the foods that human beings can't? Like, you know, the poisonous berries, right? So animals can digest them and people can't, right? Why is that? So because we are human beings, we're evolutionarily, not a word,
evolutionary.
But
we understand.
So we're much more sophisticated, but also spiritually, that's the right word. So, and also spiritually, we're much on a much higher. So we need a more processed food. We can't handle the rough types of food, but simple animals and simple beings, they can. Mm-hmm. So when you have a connection to something great, you have a much higher standard. Pesach is a time that we connect with Hashem. Shavuos, Sukkos, all these times we go to the Beis HaMikdash. So it's just natural to connect judgment with, it's natural to connect judgment with closeness to Hashem. It's not intuitive, but it's still true, right? For the same thing, there's no problem with a person being tummy. We're sitting around the table, we're all tummy. No problem, right? But if we go into the Beis HaMikdash, well then it's not okay. I understand, is tumah bad? No, it's not bad. But if you're coming close to Hashem, the standard is much higher. So while we don't associate the joy of Yontif with judgment, but really we should. Because the joy of Yontif is an outgrowth of Kirvas Elokim, and judgment is also an outgrowth of Kirvas Elokim. That's my suggestion. But let's continue. It's not in the Gemara. It's a great question, though. So we're up to Mani Masnisin. 17 lines down, we think. Last we're on the line. Mani Masnisin. So who's the opinion of our Mishnah? That there are four separate times of judgment of these different things. Lo Rabbi Meir, V'lo Rabbi Yehuda, V'lo Rabbi Yossi, V'lo Rabbi Nasan. It's not any of these opinions. Desanya, as the Brisa says. Hakol Nidon in Barash Hashanah. Ugzar din shalahem nechtam biyom kippur. Divrei Reb Meir. Reb Meir is the one that we feel intuitively that judgment for everything happens on Rosh Hashanah because the grain is really a judgment of me, right? Whether the grain doesn't really care. The reason grain is important is because people eat it. So we are judged on Rosh Hashanah, and thereby the grain is judged, and the fruits are judged, and the water is judged on Rosh Hashanah, and the Ugzar din is on Yom Kippur. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Huda Omer, Rabbi Huda's opinion is Hakol Nidonim B'Rosh Hashanah. Huda says that no, everything is judged on Rosh Hashanah. Ugzar Din Shalem Nechtam Kol Echa VeEchad Bismano, and so the judgment happens on Rosh Hashanah, but the finalization is scattered throughout the year. Right? We saw this earlier in that top Tosfos. Right?
That's true of us also.
So let's see. Let's see how that would apply to people. The Pesach al Tzvua.
That means I can goof off for 11 months.
Oh, you're asking a different question.
Wait. You're already telling us you're going to goof off.
So the answer is no, but we'll get to that in a second. The Pesach al Tzvua, the judgment is on Rosh Hashanah, but it's sealed for grain on Pesach. That's Eretz al Peros, and for fruit on Shavuos. Peros Ilan. B'chag Nidon al Amayim. And on water is sealed on Sukkos. The Adam Nidim Rosh Hashanah Gzar Din Shalom Nechtam Yom Kippur. And people are also judged on Rosh Hashanah and sealed on Yom Kippur. So I don't know where the goofing off would have come in, but if...
It doesn't give me much time.
No, you don't know. Yom Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is not the time to goof off. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is the time to be on your best behavior.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you're asking for somebody else, not for you.
No.
Right, I got it. Okay. Rav Yossi Omer, this is the third opinion of the Braisa. So far, nothing has matched the Mishnah, right? Rav Meir says everything on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and Rav Yehuda says that all the judgments happen on Rosh Hashanah. Our Mishnah says that the judgments happen throughout the year. Rav Yossi Omer, Ada Nida B'chol Yom. Rav Yossi says that people are judged every day. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Vatifkidenu Levkarim, that we are tested or remembered. We're remembered by Hashem, Levkarim, in the Boker, in the morning. So every day, people are judged. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Rav Nassan does he one better. Rav Nassan Omer, Ada Nidim V'chol Shah, every moment. Shenemar, at the end of the Pasuk says, L'regaim Tivchanenu, that each moment we are bochein, God tests us and God makes the decision about us. So the opinion...
Is that contradictory?
It's a contradiction to the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. These contradict Rav Yossi and Rav Nassim. The last two opinions of either every day or every moment contradict our Mishnah, which says that we're judged only on Rosh Hashanah. The first two opinions, which are really the ones that we're considering over here, contradict our Mishnah because Rabbi Meir says everything happens on Rosh Hashanah, even the grain and the water and the fruits. And Rabbi Yehuda says that the judgment happens on Rosh Hashanah, but the sealing of the judgment, the Gzardin, is scattered throughout the year. So that doesn't match with our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says that on Pesach, the judgment happens for grain. It doesn't match any of the opinions. So you have to figure this out. So let's see what the Mishnah says. Let's see what the Gemara is going to say. V'chitema, so you're going to make a suggestion. La'olam Rabbi Yehuda, maybe the Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who said that everything happens on Rosh Hashanah, but the sealing of the judgment is throughout the year. And what our Mishnah says that, you know, on Pesach, you're judged on grain, what it means is that the sealing of that judgment is on grain. Okay. That's a good approach. Ihachi kasha adam. So that doesn't work out, because when is the sealing of the judgment of people, according to Rabbi Yehuda? Right? The sealing of the judgment for people is Yom Kippur. Right? But what did our Mishnah say? If it's listing just the sealing, it lists the Rosh Hashanah. That doesn't make any sense. Great point. Amar Rava, so Rava says, you're right, it's not any of those opinions. Hai Tana Debei Rav Shmuel. It's the opinion of Tana Debei Rav Shmuel. The Tana Debei Rav Shmuel, as the Bryce of Rav Shmuel says, Ba'arba Prakim Ba'ol Nidon, the world is judged at 4 points. Nidon b'Pesach, Holam Nidon b'Pesach al Tzvua, v'Atzeres al Peros Ilam b'Chag Nidon al Mayim v'Adon Nidon Rosh Hashanah. Ugzar Din Shalo Nechtam v'Yom Kippur. And the sealing of the people is on Yom Kippur. So, what the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel is, the Tanya of Rabbi Shmuel is, like our Mishnah, that we're judged Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, and Sukkot, each thing on its own. And it seems that there's only Gzar Din, there's only a delay before the sealing from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur for people. But otherwise, everything stays as it is. Okay. And our Mishnah is talking about when the judgment starts, not when it completes. Okay. That let's pause over here.
Does the fact that you misbehave affect the grain? Can it affect the grain? What's going to affect the grain over those
interesting.
6 months?
Interesting. So you, in terms of what?
What do you mean?
Hashem changing the crop.
Yeah.
From a good crop.
What affects that? What
can you, our actions?
They do. Yes, they do. Our actions affect all four of these things. I don't know how Hashem decides, you know, I have no idea actually, how Hashem decides, that if, whoever the person is, did he really change so much from Rosh Hashanah to Pesach? Maybe he did, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he did more mitzvos, right? So he's going to, even though his desire did for personal issues was not so great, but his crop is going to be very good. Good for him. That's great. That's what happens when we call that tshuva. He should continue to go in the right direction. And obviously you can go in the other direction as well. Okay, any questions?
Look at it positively. Why are you looking
at it? I only look at it positively.
Okay. Only. So why you say the other way also?
We have to get it on the record that it can go in both directions. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes people look at things positively, they're not able to realize that there's a negative side as well, a downside as well. And, you know, everything is just roses for them, even though that's not what reality looks like at all. When we talk about it, we talk about it positively anyway. Okay. So we are on the second to last of the very thin lines, in the middle of the line, Amar Rav Chisda. Okay, so if you fell off the wagon at some point, thin lines, second to last line. Amar Rav Chisda, my taima de Rav Yossi. What's the reason for Rav Yossi's opinion? Rav Yossi holds that people are judged every day. So why does he think that? So why is surprised by that question? He gave you the reasons based on the pasuk, right? V'tifkid Daniel Livakarim, that we're judged in the morning. When you wake up in the morning, so that's when the judgment happens. So the Gemara says, Anan Hachi Kamin, and this is what I was asking. My taima lo omer kribi nasan. I mean, the pasuk has two parts. It's one pasuk, four words. V'tifkidenu livkarim, lirigaim tivchenenu. We are evaluated, or we are considered in the morning, and at all moments we are judged, we are tested. So why do you choose the first half about the morning over the moments? Right, there's a contradiction in the pasuk. Right, which one is referring to judgment? Which one is not referring to judgment? How do you know? That's the worst question. My time long become nasan. So where it says bechina inuni ba'almahi, it says you test it every moment. Test it just means like it's like checking for understanding. It's like a stress test. Nothing actually happens from a stress test. You just want to see what's going on, but it's not like a judgment. It's where it says pikida nami yuni ba'almahi, but the word pikida also just means checking to see how it's going. Ella amr of chista time de Yossi mehacha. There's a different pasuk that Rabbi Yossi really relies on, and that's why he says that we're judged every day. It says lasos mishpat avdo u'mishpat amo Yisrael dvaryom v'yomo. Each thing on its own day. So there is very. It calls it mishpat. So it's really talking about judgment. It says day by day. So that's why Rabbi Yossi says it's day by day. V'amar Rav Chisda, and Rav Chisda adds based on this pasuk, which is not exactly related to our previous thing, but it's also discussed in this pasuk. Melech v'tzibor, melech nichnas tzibor. Yes, of course.
We rejected this opinion.
So we don't reject the opinion; we reject the source, which is interesting because the source was listed in the pasuk itself, in the brisa itself. I mean, the Braisa quoted the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, mm-hmm. and it said, why does Rabbi Yossi say that? It says, v'tifkidenu livkarim. And Rav Chisda has a question, and he says, okay, well, the real source is not from there, the real source is someplace else, which is strange, because it's not the real source. So I think what the Gemara means is, we're not rejecting the pasuk, because Rabbi Yossi himself quoted that pasuk. What we mean is that, when you have a pasuk which is inconclusive. There are two parts of the pasuk. We can interpret either the first one is the main part or the second one is the main part. So you need some other source to tell me how to interpret this pasuk. So what he means is that the source is the pasuk Dvar Yom B'Yomo. Right? Each day we're judged. Once you know that people are judged each day, when you see the pasuk V'tifkidenu Livakarim in Eov, you're going to immediately say, yeah, I get that. We're judged each day. That's what it means. Not because this pasuk is conclusive, but because there's something else which is conclusive, and therefore you interpret this pasuk in that way. I mean, if you have a worldview that states, you know, X, Y, and Z, right? So you're always going to interpret ambiguous events following your worldview, right? Let's go back to the stock market. So I'm sure we're all investors in cryptocurrency, right? Nobody here invests in cryptocurrency?
No.
Gabe?
We're not insane.
Okay. So we all think, all right, the other way.
Temporary insanity.
We all think that investing in cryptocurrency is crazy, right?
It's not the same.
So let me ask you, how do you know that investing in cryptocurrency is crazy? How do you know it?
Because of the variations.
Because of the variation. Look, it fell 70% over the course of 1 month. Obviously, it's crazy. But you know, it also was up 3,000% over the course of 6 months.
Correct.
So which is the real? The up 6,000, up 3,000%, or down 70%? Which is the which is the rule, and which
is the standard?
Right. Which is the what's really going to happen? Is it really going to go up, or is it really going to go all over the place and go down?
Yes. There is no rule.
Yes.
There is no rule.
It's
yet.
It's going to go up and it's going to go down. That's
right.
All.
So we all think that investing in cryptocurrency is not the way to go. So therefore we say, it's volatile. Sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down. But you can't rely on it. It's not an investment. It's just speculation. It's the same as tulips in France, right? That's what we're going to say.
Yeah.
Yes? But some, there are people who really think that cryptocurrency is the wave of the future. And it is going to be the way to invest. And it's not speculation. So what do they say? What do they point to? They're not going to point to the 70% drop, the 85% drop. They're going to look and say, look, it was up 3,000%. Yeah. Right? Because what you think, and they're not crazy. I mean, maybe they are, but I don't know that they're crazy. What you think affects how you look at the evidence. And anybody can look at evidence. You want to ask somebody who knows what they're talking about, right? That's why you look at, anybody can open a Shulchan Aruch and understand the Shulchan Aruch, you go to a posek. Anybody can look at, you know, lab tests, but you go to a trained doctor who really knows what they're talking about because they give you what's really going on. So the same thing's true over here. Rabbi Yossi had this pasuk of Dvar Yom B'Yomo that says that you're judged every day of the year, right? So he says, once I know you're judged every day of the year, so of course that's what it means when the pasuk says,
Vatifkidenu Livakarim. Yeah, but what's the reason for being judged? The idea that we're being judged means that we will be better every day because we worry about the negative. Therefore, we will behave better every day.
So we hope.
We hope. And the question is the judgment before Shacharis or after Shacharis? Hopefully after.
I would think it's actually beginning, the very beginning of the day. That's what I would think. I don't know if you get to choose these things, but yeah.
I think it works either
it's
way.
Okay. Well, look, if it's not after, if it's not after today's davening, I mean, you want to daven before the din. So if you didn't get it before the din, because let's say it's early in the morning, or let's say you went to a late minya that day, you got in before tomorrow's din. Today's shacharis is before tomorrow's din.
Yeah,
either way.
Okay, yes.
And I know you're getting better each day. I know. Let's continue.
Don't ask his wife.
No, okay. Don't ask my wife. That's not a good way.
So Amar of Chisso, third line. Okay, third wide line, middle or medium line. Amar of Chisso, Melech v'tzibor, Melech nichnas tchilo l'din. When the Jewish people and the king of the Jewish people is judged, Hashem judges the king first. It's based on the pasuk. Shenemar lasos mishpat avdo, mishpat amo Yisrael. Right? Avdo refers to a singular person who is the eved of Hashem. When looking at the Jewish people as a whole, it's the king who represents Hashem's dominion over the world. And then afterwards, mishpat amo Yisrael, the general people of the Jewish people. So you see that the king goes first. My taima, why is the king judged before the people? What's the reason? There's a book called Leaders Eat Last, I think.
Leaders
Eat Last. I mean, if you're running a group, so you make sure that all, you know, the head counselor doesn't get the meal first, and then there's not enough food left for the kids. No, you make sure the kids eat first, and then afterwards, you eat, making sure that there's enough for everybody. The kitchen staff always eats first. Correct. Yes, that is true. They get the best watermelon pieces as well. So, right, that's also true. The food tester also eats first. So what's the reason that the king gets judged first? What's the reason? My time, Ibai's Ema, one possibility. Lav Orach Arla Mesa Malka Avrai. You can't leave the king waiting outside the courtroom while the Jewish people are standing there pleading for their lives. It's just he's just going to stay, nothing to do. He can't even like check Twitter because it's Yantiv. It's Yantiv. So what's he going to do? So you let the king go in first, and then afterwards the rest of the people go. That's one possibility. Vibayisim, another possibility. Mekame de lefesh charon af. There's so many people, the Jewish people, and they're so varied in their behavior that Hashem is going to get angry through this process, and then the king is going to get stuck with the brunt. And you know, they say, getting back to they say when the principal sneezes, you ever heard this? The principal sneezes, everybody catches a cold. Because it all comes from the top. So the if the king gets destroyed in his din, who's really going to suffer? The whole kingdom. Yes. Right? So therefore, we let the king in first, let the king get a fair judgment, and then afterwards, the Jewish people will be judged. Okay. I think we're going to pause over here. We're up to the seventh medium line in the Gemara, and we'll pick up again next week.